You're listening to the Co-Creator Network. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Why Shamanism Now, a practical path to authenticity with your host, Christina Pratt, director of the Last Mask Center for Shamanic Healing. She's talking about how shamanic skills can bring us to physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being, especially when nothing else can. Now, here's your host, Christina Pratt.
Welcome, everyone, to Why Shamanism Now. This is your host, Christina Pratt, on this lovely day. The amaryllis is blooming bright and vibrant red, and I think perhaps the world, at least where I live, might be thinking about spring. So today I call in the ancestors to join us here today. I ask that all of those who are good and true and beautiful, who lived well and died well and carry our legacies, that they come to us here today, not just today, but they circle round every listener who ever listens to this podcast at any time. I call out to you, ancestors, who bring us the wisdom to learn from those who have gone before us. We call out to you to gather round us without worry of time and space, but to be with us, that we might come to understand this great big idea that slips so easily from our minds, that idea of the big dream. We ask all of those dreamers in all of our ancestral lines to join us here today, that we might understand what it means to be born of the dream. And in that, to be dreamers, what an awesome gift that is, and in that gift, a great responsibility. We ask you to help us to understand how to bear this in a good way in our contemporary world. So with the ancestors gathered round to assist us on this day, we call out to the earth below, the great dreamer. For those of us who live on this planet, from a shamanic perspective, we would not be here without her dreaming of life on the face of this planet. And so we give thanks to the earth for the wonder of that dream that gives us always a new day, another chance, gives us hope and possibility, allows us to rest and restore and emerge anew. There's great and deep wisdom in this dreaming from this planet, and we give thanks to her for this opportunity as humans to participate in this life, in this miracle. So we give thanks for the miracle of this day, for the home, for the place, for the belonging, for the connection and the interconnection that are all part and parcel of this dream that we share. We give thanks to the earth for dreaming in a way that we weren't stuck here all by ourselves as humans, but we are here with a great, diverse range of life. And in that life is amazing beauty and ecosystems that create harmony and change and transformation, great oceans, majestic mountains, deserts, such beauty. And we give thanks to the earth for dreaming this dream into existence that we might share in that beauty. And may we do what we do today in a way that brings beauty to this earth. And as we stand here on this earth, awash in the beauty of this day, surrounded by the ancestors, let us send our energy up all the way through the sky and the atmosphere and out into the cosmos, and to reach all the way from our hearts and minds to the highest power in the universe, and by whatever name you call that power, by whatever awareness you connect with it, draw it down. Draw it down into yourself, into our circle here, and into these proceedings, that we may be protected so that we can hear what we are not yet quite ready to hear, and that what is not quite ready to be spoken can be spoken. Let us be safe in opening to what needs to be done. We call in the energy of blessing and generosity and the benevolence of this universe, and we call in inspiration and illumination, and the feeling that we are supported by invisible forces in our life to express what it is that we have come here to be and to do. So we call out to these energies, the sky to draw it down and the earth to draw it up, and these energies to blend within us to bring us into exact balance for this day. And in the center of all of this, we call out to the energy of the heart that has the capacity, unique in all things, to merge the fiery passions of the belly with the crystal clarity of the mind, and to bring them together in a way in the heart that we might know why we are here and feel the creative life force move through us, that we might do something with that knowing. So with these energies gathered round us, may what needs to be said, and what needs to be heard. And may these proceedings go forward in a way that is good for all living things. And I want to give thanks to all of those who donate and support the show. I want to give thanks to each one of you that has shared this show with someone else, who could share the show with someone else. That it's important that you each are moved by the show to share with others, so that the network of this information grows and it continues to reach out to people and transform and help people to get the information that they need to do what is their birthright. And so I ask each of you who have grown comfortable with the show to open out here as we begin to emerge in this new year, and to share it with others, to invite them to share with others, to check on the Facebook page, but to keep the network that keeps the show alive. We give thanks to those of you who have donated, particularly to Mark and to Lori, and all of those who have allowed the meaning that you find in the show in your heart to move you into action. And this is, of course, the essence of Aini and the essence of many shamanic cultures, is becoming people who can be motivated not by fear and all of those things that evolve out of fear, but to be moved by the things that have meaning in our heart and value, the things that are born out of this deep shamanic understanding of love. And so I ask you, if you are moved by this show in any way, to donate. And that's very easy. You can go to whyshamanismnow.com, push the support button, and donate any amount of money, large or small. It is all deeply welcome. We are grateful for all of it. And every penny goes straight to keeping the show on the air. So I thank you all for that and encourage you to continue to share what you have found of value in this show. So today we are continuing exploring the realm of the visionary this month in January in 2011. And we've spent a couple shows talking about dreams and nighttime dreams and a shamanic understanding of nighttime dreams. And so there you go. Those are your nighttime dream shows. For me, I have always been puzzled by the fact that people are so worried, in a sense, about dreams and nighttime dreams. I mean, for me, nighttime dreams fit in that category of free stuff you got from the universe to prove to you it's a cool place. I mean, you get dreams every night. If you wanted to pay attention to them, you can just start paying attention to them. You don't have to pay anybody to teach you how to do that. I mean, there's a gajillion books. I remember doing this in high school, and I was, you know, dumb as a stick in high school. So really, I mean, your nighttime dreams are there as a great wealth of information, so use them. You're not going to break them. The more you communicate with them, the more they communicate back to you. I've never quite understood all the fuss about nighttime dreams, because what is so much more grand and elusive and yet present in all things is the big dream, is the dream time, is the energy that is what begins or began that evolved into the reality that we experience. If you're listening to me, I hope you're also one of those people who have read one or more of the many books these days written by hard scientists, not psychologists, not therapists, but hard scientists, about the cutting edge of science and what it is showing us about the nature of our existence. Because they're basically explaining through the math and through these contemporary interpretations of these concepts what shamans have understood energetically. Because the energy is the energy. We can talk about it shamanically. We can talk about it scientifically. What's important is that we talk about it and that we come to understand that there is an energy that does not have form, that is manifesting the experience we are having of form. And that is, of course, that tricky thing, is that we are only having an experience of form. that even the experience of our life is in and of itself an illusion. But it's an extremely convincing illusion and one we're all deeply invested in, having chosen to incarnate in human bodies and have it. So we'll just take that as a given for today's show. So we're talking about the big dream. When we speak of Australian Aboriginal people, they talk about the dreaming or the dream time, and that particular shamanic expression from that part of the world really finessed and made accessible in their shamanic work the connection between the human and the dream time. And there are many shamanic cultures that have used the nighttime dreaming as a means to begin to access this dream time. But the most important thing, I guess, in the show today is that we begin to understand that there is a big dream manifesting reality. It's one of many ways to think about what science is telling us today. And that, and you know, and given that, what do you need to do about that? Now, the big challenge today is that now that I've started to talk about manifesting reality, everybody is going to check out. Because you've all read The Secret and you all know how to do that. And that's the problem. The Secret is a great vehicle in the fact that it became just like, I can't remember the name of the book. Any of these books that end up being the bestsellers in the airport bookstores for 4 years. You know, these are great books in the sense that they take an idea that has been locked away for one reason or another, political, religious, whatever, and they spread it. So that people can start thinking about it. And that in and of itself is beautiful and extremely powerful. And for that alone, we give thanks to the book, The Secret. At the same time, The Secret is not, it's not that it's not true. It's that it's a piece of a bigger story. And you and I both know that there are people in our lives that can be really dangerous with half the information. So what I'd like to try to talk about today is a collective understanding of a bigger picture. So, you know, if we go to The Secret website, it says, The Secret teaches us that we create our lives. Precisely. But that was my little comment there. So the quote from the website is, The Secret teaches us that we create our lives, that every thought, every minute of every day. Living The Secret offers tools and ideas to help you live The Secret and create the life of your dreams. And so then it focuses on three areas. The first is money. The website says money is magnetic energy. You are magnetic, attracting to you all things via the signal you're emitting through your thoughts and feelings. Discover how to become a powerful magnet for the creation of personal wealth. Fine. But what if manifesting the wealth that you think you want now would draw resources away from the invention that you would otherwise have created that would evolve into free, fresh water for everyone in the world in your grandchildren's time? What if your creative life force gave that legacy to your descendants and all of humanity, and you were known as the water healer on every continent? Can you feel the generosity and the goodwill that your descendants would live in if that's what you did with your creative life force? Or you can manifest the money that you want and purchase the things that you want that make you happy, and then manifest more money and teach your children to manifest what they want. And so you hand down a legacy of having what you want and believing that having what you want is happiness. So can you feel in that legacy that you have played small? Not that there's anything wrong with it, but you have played your life small. And your legacy is something that makes the lives of your descendants smaller and smaller and smaller. So then The Secret goes on to talk about relationships. They can be completely transformed no matter what it's like right now. Learn how to transform every single relationship you have in your life. Absolutely. But what if others don't want to be or do or feel what you want them to? What if there are relationships in your life that you completely misunderstand? Some relationships are teachers, and they aggravate the hell out of us. And some relationships we are profoundly attracted to, but they have been placed in our life to draw us to something else entirely that we will miss because we were so focused on manifesting with the principles of The Secret, the sexual intimacy we think we want with that person that we believe will then make us happy. What if you missed that person in your life who was present for the single reason to awaken you to your true soul's purpose? Because you were so busy manifesting your soulmate and that perfect relationship that would make you happy. In other words, you're so busy judging the relationships in your life by whether or not they are what you think they should be and whether or not they're making you happy, that you miss entirely what relationships are. And that these people in our lives, even the aggravating, confusing, and annoying ones, are angels, bringing us gifts that are beyond our imagination in the moment. That's why they're here, to open up those doors and windows in our imagination. So then The Secret goes on to talk about health. Explore ways to open yourself up and become a powerful magnet to wellness and health, starting from wherever you are now. Finally, health. That's all true. And frankly, some of the shamanic diagnoses I would have from the people I have worked with are people are dying of niceness. That's a particular Midwest disease. People are choking to death on their unexpressed grief or anger. And people are basically working their own nerves. People can work their own nerves to high blood pressure and death. And these are all things that, yes, you can change from basically your perspective, your thoughts and feelings about the world. The simplest one is, I mean, I had to do this myself this winter. I was getting a little bit whiny. And I realized that I didn't have to feel bad about what wasn't happening. I could just accept it wasn't happening and move on. And so that's working your own nerves. So yes, yes to all of that. And health. The body is an amazing creature. And there are some deep running currents that affect our health that we cannot change by thinking or feeling differently. There is soul loss. There is power, energy, and theft. There is the healing of the unresolved energy of the ancestors. You cannot think that into difference. You have to go do that work. And there's also a shaman's illness. There are some illnesses that are the very transformation we are longing for to take us to where we are meant to be. And so health, bad health, good health, health is not even always what it seems to be. So what's important here is that if we continue to focus on what I want in the moment, and what I think will make me happy in the moment, and disregard the innate wisdom in the moment, in the world around us, and learn to engage instead with the world as a teacher versus learning to impose my will on the world. Because the truth is, people, both things work. You are a manifestation machine. The fact that you can decide you want $500,000 and can use the principles of The Secret to manifest that does not prove that is right and good. And it doesn't even prove that is the best thing for you. It just proves what I've already told you. You are a manifestation machine. And once you cut out all the other crap and focus on the principles that align and enhance manifestation, you can make anything happen in the world that you want to. The issue here is what we want may not be even good for us, much less good for other living things. I mean, I think back to what I wanted at other times in my life. And at that time, I considered myself smart and conscious. And it would be a disaster if I was married to that person now, or various and sundry other things that I worked so very hard to manifest. Thank goodness I didn't succeed. Because what we want is limited by our imagination, by our consciousness, by so many things, and mostly by our fear. That much of what we want in terms of money and relationship and health comes out of our fear-based ideas in the first place. So shamanically, this whole thing begins at the other end. Not here with what I want, but more that sense of where am I and where did I come from and what am I doing here, and then how can I do that in the best way possible for me and other living things. So the underlying belief in shamanic cultures, ancient shamanic cultures, is that reality as we know it is the result of a dream of the cosmos, not the great mystery cosmos. And this is called the dream time in some cultures. And that from this great cosmos dream comes this thread of life. So the elements that were born from the dream dreamt, and each thing dreamt. So, you know, universes dreamt galaxies, galaxies dreamt stars, stars dreamt suns, basically suns dreamt planets in dreaming. So that thread of life connects us to all things and all times. And this thread of life flows through your ancestors into you and through you to the descendants. So you and all of your life has been dreamt into existence, just as certainly as you are dreaming reality into existence. So shamanically, reality is the product of the big dream. So it makes no sense to say, will my dreams ever happen? Which is really what's behind the motivation of The Secret. I want my dreams to happen. Well, from a shamanic perspective, your dreams are happening. So if your life doesn't match your dreams, what are you dreaming? Is the larger question. Not the simplicity or the smallness of what do I want, but the larger perspective of what am I dreaming and how is that affecting me and others around me. Now, before I go any further, I want to take a little bit of an aside and say, do not think that you can use this idea that we are dreaming our reality to bludgeon people who are suffering. In other words, if there is a drought-ridden country somewhere, you can't just go, oh, well, those people dreamt up that drought. Not only is that ignorant and not remotely compassionate, but you're missing the point entirely, which is that we are dreaming. We, the entire family of humanity, is dreaming life as we know it. And so the drought over there is most likely the manifestation of a dream that is dreaming excess somewhere else. That the dream, because we are never not dreaming, but we have not been trained the responsibility of being a dreamer. We've not been trained to dream well, to dream with maturity for easily, 2,000 years or more. And so consequently, we are dreaming constantly pollution, toxicity, excess, deficiency, and what results then in disease in our human lives into the dream, because we are not disciplined. We are not even aware that we, every moment, we are contributing to the dream. And so The Secret says, you know, every moment you're manifesting your life. Well, yes, you are. Every moment you're also manifesting mine, and I'm manifesting yours. And so is Mount Hood here, off my left shoulder, and the great Pacific Ocean, because they are dreamers too. And so what happens to the dream when an entire species of animal becomes extinct? We lose a dreamer that dreams some sort of uniqueness into the fabric of that dream. This is the issue, people, not whether or not you have the money you want or whether or not you could create the money you want, because you can. Health, relationship, all that stuff. Yes, you can manipulate reality. The question is, do you want to? Or do you want to take a step back or two or three steps back and look at the bigger picture, understanding that, yes, you have this power, but do you have the responsibility to use it well? do you have the spiritual maturity to recognize not only on one hand, yes, I am that powerful. I do manifest reality. And I am in this with everybody else on a very small planet. And if we do not get it together, people, we are going to pollute this dream into annihilation for us. I mean, the dream of the Earth is big enough that we'll simply be, you know, a disease that gets shaken off and the planet will heal just fine, right? But I personally like life a lot. I like you all too. I'd like you to be around. So maybe we could all grow up here and understand our responsibility as dreamers and begin to ask the questions, what do I, as an adult, on the planet, not even just in my culture, but on the planet, need to understand about being a dreamer? So the first thing that we need to understand when we're talking about creating the life that you dream is we need to understand the difference between dreams and fantasies from a shamanic sense. And I don't mean this in any way to get confused with wonderful people like Dan Savage and others that are trying to help us to get healthy around our sexual fantasies. So I'm not two words being used differently. So I want to define fantasy in a shamanic sense, which is not at all to dismiss how it's used generally speaking. That's all fine. But shamanically speaking, the word fantasy is meant to distinguish the difference between the dream that you're dreaming that is manifesting the reality of your life. For example, a dream of safety for your home and your family, that your world is abundant and fruitful, that you are prosperous, bringing peace to the heart and mind in your life, and that ultimately your life contributes to love and joy, and that you're dreaming this reality into existence in such a way that your presence inspires these things in others. I mean, that's a reasonable dream to have, right? So a fantasy would be an energy still in the dreaming energy, not yet manifest, that you want to explore, because in that fantasy, there's something for you to understand about yourself. But you don't want the big mechanism that comes out of the great mystery to draw that fantasy energy in and manifest it the way you are asking the big dreaming to manifest your dreaming. So in other words, this realm of dream, which we've talked about now for several weeks, nighttime dreams, journey connects us to that realm, fantasy, daydream, all of these things operate in this energy realm before it's manifest. And so fantasy then is, it's like a little timeout room where you can move around in that realm to play out something that you don't want manifest, but you want to live it in the energy world to understand something about yourself. So what I teach my students is to give it a red flag. In essence, you put a stick a red flag on it and you go, this is something I'm working on, to the big dreaming thing, and say, don't make this happen. I'm still working on this. When I work this out, then I'll understand what I want to contribute to the dreaming or not. So sometimes things are easier understood in their negative. So the story that helped me understand this 20 years ago was the story of a shaman in a village, actually, I think in up in the Andes, but I'm not sure. Anyway, nonetheless, a shaman, a well-respected shaman in a village. And he started to get a crush on his neighbor's wife, which was really silly. I mean, as he was telling the story, it was really silly since all the adults involved in this story are like 60 plus years old and they've been living next to each other since they were all 15. So the idea that this 6-year-old man is suddenly having a crush on his neighbor, who's practically been a sister his whole life, should have been the red flag to him. But he missed it. And being a shaman, of course, his skills in manifesting dreams were quite powerful. And before you knew it, he was having a hot and passionate affair with his neighbor. And needless to say, it's a small village and everybody found out, and it destroyed people. It destroyed relationships. It hurt everyone, only to have him wake up out of that fantasy and realize what he'd done, that this had always been a fantasy. It wasn't meant to be a dream. It shouldn't have become manifest, that there was something in the woman that was reflecting back an aspect of himself that he needed, but he wasn't owning. And so he was attracted to that energy in her. And so consequently, he turned that attraction to the mirror, that reflection in her, into this whole story about, you know, having to bed her and missing the whole point and creating a great deal of damage. So that's why it's critically important to understand in yourself the distinction between your dreams and your fantasies. Fantasies aren't bad. They're just not meant to be manifest, because when they are manifest, they manifest nightmares. So for those of you that have nightmares of health issues or nightmares of relationship issues or nightmares of work issues or money issues in your life, the question we can begin to ask is, what am I dreaming, or what larger cultural dream have I tapped into that is manifesting this nightmare in my life? Because one of the experiences that I struggled with all of last year in 2010 was refinancing our home. And In the latter part of last year, our home loan got bundled and purchased by one of the worst companies out there, one of the many companies that Washington Mutual splintered into and just gave it a new name and stuck it in Texas so nobody could touch it, because Texas has got its own laws. It's like a nation in and of itself, and you can't – it's like there's no extradition rights or something. I don't know. Anyway, the point is, this business was stuck in Texas, and we couldn't get to it. And we were talking to the Attorney General of Oregon, the Attorney General of Texas. We could not get anyone to help us. And this company was dragging us thousands of dollars into debt monthly. And we were going to lose our home. And these are two people that have made not only every house payment, but every bill on time for their whole adult lives. We're not talking about crappy credit here. But we were being drugged down by a company whose business policy was purely greed driven. And so I kept asking myself, you know, what am I dreaming? And how have I gotten hooked into this larger cultural dream? So it's not even just looking at your own dreaming. Again, this isn't about blaming, but this is about understanding that you and I and humanity are dreaming with all the rest of life on this planet, the reality that we're experiencing. But we, the people, because we have free will, are extremely powerful manifestors. And in America, so it's the only country I can speak for right now, we are almost completely unconscious about what we're doing. Now, the beauty of The Secret is it made people conscious that they could become powerful and effective in that they weren't victims of the dream. But it doesn't necessarily mean people are dreaming consciously and maturely. It just means it connected people to the awareness that they have the power to manifest reality, which is good. So you see, it's not that The Secret isn't true. It's not that at all. It's that it's only a small part of this much bigger truth. And taken out of context in this way, that partial truth can do a great deal of damage to the fabric of reality. And we've already seen this this recent last couple years of the history in America, that the systems that emerged in the reality of our country were dreamt into reality collectively by the people of this country. And they are greed-driven and unsustainable. And they are clearly not good for all living things. They aren't even good for a majority of Americans. But that personal wealth dream sounded so good to those people that dreamt it. And that's what I'm trying to say here about recognizing you may find your own dreams of personal wealth humble and doable, and why shouldn't you have the money that you want? But understand, it is that dream of personal wealth that escalated into this enormous dream of greed in this country that coalesced 30% of the wealth into 1% of the people back with Reagan and Bush Sr., and has only gotten worse since then. That is the same thing. So we need to wake up out of that nightmare. And thanks to The Secret and anything else that teaches us this, harness our power to manifest reality and to get a grip on what it is that we're actually doing. So, well, then there's another piece here to add, just for you, because this is what helped me. I am a strong-willed person, and that is not always a good thing. But having a strong will, sometimes that's the only thing that gets you there. Nonetheless, I'm a strong-willed person, and it is often excessive and often a problem. And what I came to understand through my Taoistic teacher is that there are many kinds of ambition that strong-willed people get engaged in. And it is possible to engage in spiritual ambition. And there is an aspect of that in what I'm talking about as well. It's not just about the dream and recognizing your part as a manifester or a dreamer in the big dream and how that's affecting all life. But it's also about recognizing that just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it's good. It can still be arrogant and willful or ignorant or ambitious. And to get engaged in the idea, and there's many different teachings out there that engage in the idea that it's all about your will. It's all about controlling your mind. And I am all for learning not to work your own nerves. I am all for learning how to manage and discipline the mind. Because if you don't know how to run your mind will run you, period. And that's what these different systems are teaching. So absolutely. And not everything can be willed into right alignment. There is a place when we do not acknowledge properly the wisdom of the heart, the wisdom intelligence of the body, and these deeper, larger, broader spiritual wisdoms, instead of just selecting the spiritual truths we like because they help us do what we need to do to be happy, but we accept this broader awareness and recognize that we can be as damaging in our spiritual ambition as anyone out there on Wall Street or in the medical system or in any system where ambitious people tend to congregate. So keep that in mind. Spiritual doesn't equal good. And we can be equally damaging in our ambition there. So what are we really saying then about this whole thing about thinking and feeling? Because we're certainly not saying that it's wrong, right? So Greg Braden and others, not just Greg Braden, but Greg Braden and others have talked about this recently. And so this is other information that's out there for you to tap into and keep broadening. If you like the idea that you can manifest reality, more power to you, come to understand that in a larger, broader context. And if you don't like the shamanic perspective, go for science and read these books by people like Greg Braden who start to bring the science into perspective. If you don't like Greg, pick another one. I mean, there's dozens out there. But what's important that comes out of what they're saying is that, one, everything is connected and that our inner experiences affect the world around us. And what's important about those two things is that science didn't used to believe that. But science has proved that to be true now, you know, thank goodness, since we've known that shamanically forever. Okay, but finally, we're all on the same page. Science and shamanisms are all happily on the same page. Everything is connected, and our inner experiences affect the world around us. And that humans participate in the magnetic and electrical fields around us, and that there is a great field of energy that can be measured. People finally figured out how to measure it, so now they can measure it, so now it's real. It was always there anyway. So the magnetic fields produced by humans are produced primarily by the heart. And so all of these systems that have always said it's in your mind, it's in your affirmations, they are only partially true, that your most powerful manifester is really in terms of generating the electromagnetic field that's going to interact with the electromagnetic field of everything else is your heart. So the heart is 100 times stronger in generating electrical fields and 5,000 times stronger in generating magnetic fields. So the heart is designed not just in its physical capacity to pump blood and do all the good heart stuff that keep us moving, but to do this energetic job as well, that not only coordinates you electromagnetically with the environment, but it also coordinates the organs inside electromagnetically. And beyond that, actually, it almost spiritually maintains sort of the dialogue amongst the organs that keeps you healthy and well. So what's important to understand in the language here, though, because we smush all these words together these days, you know, it's body, mind, spirit. It's all one word now. Not even any commas. It's not body and mind and spirit. Of course, we've left out the heart there because there's no emotional piece. So anyway, my point is the science people are clarifying for us that there is thought, and that thought energy comes out of our upper chakras. 5th, 6th, and 7th. And it brings clarity, pictures, intent. It's kind of crystalline in nature often. Lots of pictures, lots of ideas, lots of words, all those details and specificity. And the emotional energy comes out of the lower creative centers of the body. So the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd chakras. And it is these emotions that we must breathe into the images and the pictures or the intent that we shape and craft with the mind. The precision of the mind is important. Simple example would be this. Your intention is most powerful if you say exactly the same thing every day. Not kind of, exactly. And it's even more effective if you choose one thing and focus all of your intending and manifesting energies on that one thing, and you precisely craft that sentence. And then the next piece is to infuse that reality that you've just crafted with your words with the emotional content out of your gut, what it will feel like to be living that reality, what it will smell like, what it will taste like, how your relationships will be, how everything will be, the complete experience. And so you breathe life into that one sentence with the energy, the emotional energy from the lower chakras. And those two energies, the thoughts and the emotions, come together in the heart. And this is why I call that energy in on this show. Because this show, for me, extends the power of the storyteller. And the one story that I'm trying to tell with every single show is that it is your heart that must be cleared and ready to do the work, because it is in your heart that you can bring these energies together, the clarity of your mind and the powerful life force of the lower chakras, and bring them together to know who you are and why you are here, and have the courage and the creativity to do it. That's all I care about in my whole life. It's the entire purpose of this show, that we come to understand the role of the heart in the big dream and in our responsibility as adults to engage in that big dream, so that we dream dreams that create a reality of beauty and strength and passion and diversity and change. And that we don't dream the dreams that create nightmares. Now, they may not create nightmares for you, but they may create nightmares for some other portion of life. And so this is critically important, because the heart is the place, the crucible, in which this true magic of manifestation happens, so that the energy that we are manifesting is the dream energy. And not the fantasies, not just what we want, what we think will make us happy with our tiny little perspective of the world. But we engage in the heart in a way that creates this bigger awareness of why we are here, that we are born of this dream, that it's important that we manifest our soul's purpose. Now, with that said, sidebar, this is why I've started offering the Courageous Heart training for healers, shamanic practitioners, and people that are experienced journeyers. You don't have to be a healer to do it, because we are all dreaming reality into existence. I did not enjoy last year being caught up in the greed dreams of my culture. I don't want to contribute to that, but I don't want to be caught up in everybody else's nightmares either. And so we must become capable to be higher quality dreamers and to dream not just for what I want, but to dream for life, for the quality of life. And to do that without being presumptuous and arrogant and a whole lot of other things. And so this is very tricky, in other words, in a sense, given where we are right now. And so the Courageous Heart class is a process, a transformational process, to clear all four chambers of the heart so that the heart itself is cleared of the fears that we drag forward. We as the practitioners, we as the teachers, we as the healers, we as the journeyers drag forward into our lives. We have every reason, every skill to be able to clear our hearts. Yet have we? And it doesn't happen by accident. You have to get in there and do it. And so the Courageous Heart series is for this. Because as I said just a moment ago, this to me is the most important thing right now. And it's my gift. It is an aspect that has emerged out of my shamanic teachings. It is my gift to the world that we learn again the importance of the heart, central in this whole dreaming process that manifests reality, the importance of our place in it, and the critical importance of our clearing and opening our hearts so that we can be the dreamers that we were meant to be. So that's the purpose of that class that I believe begins next month. So back to the science. So the science is talking about how it is in the heart, the union of thought and emotion, that merges these energies, or the union of thought and emotion itself does merge the energies, and that allows us to breathe life into that which we are creating. And so it's really not so much about a law of attraction as it is about mirroring and creating in within us what we want to mirror, have reflected back to us out in the world, because whatever's going on inside is reflected outside. It's another way of looking at this whole dreaming situation. So if I want to be in a particular relationship, my work is not about attracting the partner. My work is about creating within me the energy of that relationship. In other words, becoming the woman in that relationship. And that creates the mirror, and it is instantaneous, the manifestation of the person that reflects that back. So there's a great deal of depth in this, and it's not so much about what we want. It's more about feeling what it is that we need. Why? What does my soul need? What has it come here to do, and how can I express that in the world? That is the purpose of our capacity for manifestation. And so, if we go back to the people in the drought-ridden country, granted, you can't, it's very hard to have the luxury to think about what is my soul's purpose when your children are dying of thirst. So, another thing we need to understand is that there is this collective piece of the dreaming. And are we dreaming in a way that brings balance to life on this planet? So that, and yet, in that drought-ridden country, there may be people who understand the power of the dreaming, and there may be people understanding, I am of the water element, that it is my elemental home. I am being called to step forward essentially as a water shaman. So it's not that just because people are suffering, they won't come into their purpose. But it's also not our place to think that the suffering of a group of people or a person is of their own individual creation, that we're all in this together. So when we create the feelings of what we choose to create in our lives, those feelings that create the patterns in our hearts that rearrange the larger field around us, and then those patterns are mirrored in life around us, we are creating, in essence, a template, not a magnet. And what this energy is really talking about is an energy of coherence. And that the heart and the all the chambers of the heart and the body are coherent. And this sets up a strong field for manifestation. And this idea of coherence is in ancient traditions as well as the science and heart math studies, and it's all over the place right now, that the strength of the field or the coherence cannot be willed. It has to be real. We have to transform in a way that allows us to manifest that. And that we must do what is needed to create coherence, which means that we must not only change, but transform at these deep levels. And so, shamanically speaking, coherence can be disrupted by things that we often need shamanic healing to help us change, that these are deep running energies that are not going to be shifted just by changing your mind about them. And one is this real core of well-being that comes out of our soul's purpose, that we must be living in a way that we tap that if we're going to be well. There's the wholeness of your soul, which we talk about whenever we're talking about soul loss and soul retrieval. There's the maintenance. And so soul loss and soul retrieval is also about bringing the past into coherence. And the maintenance of your energy body is a way of bringing the present energies into coherence, particularly in your dynamics and relationships. There is ancestral healing, which is oddly about the future, because the unresolved ancestral energies limit our imagination and hope for the future. And that ultimately there is learning to tend the dreaming itself. And that these are all dynamics that are our responsibility as adults. And for me, I never really could find ways to access them without shamanism. So that's my sense of why shamanism now. In an everyday, ordinary life, for someone who has no intention of being a shaman, why would an ordinary person want to interface with this energy? It's to be able to tap into these deeper currents of a human life that require a kind of intervention to be able to bring you into coherence. So it's important to remember that as an adult, you are responsible for what you create in the big dream. And so the question I would ask you is to really look at yourself and ask, do you have the skills to be accountable to that responsibility? And if you don't, perhaps that is a reason you might consider gaining some shamanic skills, that you might participate more consciously in the big dream. So as I was preparing for this show, I was talking with a helping spirit who said it very simply prior to all the other research and everything I did for the show. But the helping spirit said this: thinking will most likely get you into trouble. Feeling can lead you astray. Seek the divine union of the two in the heart and allow inspiration to guide you. This is the movement of the heart in the world. So thinking will most likely get you in trouble. Feeling can lead you astray. Seek the divine union of the two in the heart and allow inspiration to guide you. This is the movement of the heart in the world. And I thought it was interesting because this message about the divine union in the heart was exactly the same as the science, the essence of the science stuff that I was looking at and getting ready for the show. And so, you know, we don't really need to be able to do the math. It's nice that we can, but it's all saying the same thing, that it is the quality of the heart that thinking can be problematic. We think a lot of things, and it is the organ, the brain is the organ of fantasy. It is the place where many, many things go on, many options get tried. And there's not anything wrong with that unless we're not being accountable for what is real and what is fantasy. And then in the shamanic sense, again. And with feelings of the heart itself, and the way that it gets caught up in stories and dramas, and I want this relationship, I want that, that this is not the heart energy that we're talking about. This is, again, fantasy and story and pre-programming. And what we're really looking at here is, how do I detoxify myself from all that is not truly and essentially me? And how do I learn to use my upper chakras as that mind clarifier and my lower chakras as that life-breathing force, and open up my heart to be able to be the place where these two energies can come together in a way that the divine inspires me, that I am in union with my own above and my own below. So I come into union above and below. I come into that divine place, and inspiration flows through me, and my heart is able to move in the world. In this way, we begin to manifest the big dream in a way that's dreamy, not nightmarish. And somehow we're all participating in all of this. It's just like me having to accept that somehow I was participating in that dream of greed. That somehow we have to understand this on our own personal, local, me level and on the larger scale, and step up to our responsibility as dreamers, because you cannot turn the manifestor off. It's always on. You're always dreaming. So the question is, given the reality of your life, what are you dreaming? And if it's not precisely what allows you to bring love and joy and your true gifts into the world, consider learning some new skills that the world might benefit from the wonder and imagination and creativity of your true dreaming. Thank you all for joining me this week. If you found this show inspiring, I hope that's because it's what I've been thinking about a lot lately. And know that the advanced coursework that Last Mass Center is offering here in Portland this first half of the year is largely inspired by this, that we need to step up our progress here, quicken it in understanding our in gaining the skill set to begin to truly engage consciously and maturely with the big dreaming. And so the courageous heart, these classes are all 2-weekend classes. So there's start the transformation weekend, several months in between for the transformation to run its course with your helping spirits, and complete the transformation together. So the courageous heart class is here February 11th and to 13th and June 10th through 12th. And the first shaman, which connects you to the first shaman in your own shamanic lineage to heal whatever dreaming distortion there is around that for you, is April and July, April 1 through 3 and July 29 through 31st. And if you want more information, you can contact assistance, ASSISTANCE, the English word assistance, at lastmasscenter.org. And we'd be happy to send you information about those two classes. Thank you all for joining me. I'd like to thank the ancestors for gathering around, especially the dreamers, for helping us to re-understand our responsibility as dreamers. I thank the earth below, the sky above, and the heart that unites it all. And I invite you all to join me next month as we shift gears and begin to explore the realm of the warrior. And what does it take to bring that which we love and find in our heart into the world? And how can we make fear the ally that it was always meant to be? Thank you all for joining me this week.